My name is Jackie, I am saved and I love the Lord dearly. The setting is at St. Andrew's Church. It is on a Sunday morning and the service begins with the song of the day. Then we go into praise and worship, through to intercessory prayers, and then into intimations. Then it is time for the moment of children. And just before the service leader asks the children to come to the front for prayer, suddenly the congregation experiences an unusual warmth and powerful presence. Shortly thereafter, warm and confident footsteps are heard. And as the congregation turns towards the aisle, they see Jesus himself walking in. He walks to the front of the church and says, "It is now the moment for children. Let the little children come to me." Imagine that. My message today is entitled, "Let the little children come to me." These are the words that Jesus spoke in Judea as he preached to a large crowd. This call, which is found in Matthew 20, verse 14, was spoken after Jesus had preached at length to the crowd. At this point, he had already covered the sermon about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, which is in Matthew 18, verses 1 to 9. He had also preached about the parable of the lost sheep. He had preached about forgiveness. He had preached about the unmerciful servant, and then about divorce. It had been a long morning. But just before the rich young man was about to come up to Jesus to ask about eternal life, maybe if it were today, he would have just stepped out of his four-wheel drive Gazla in an expensive designer suit, and all eyes would have been on him. But amidst all this, there was noisy commotion. Parents carrying their young ones were trying to squeeze their way to the front to have Jesus lay his hands on them. But the disciples would have none of it. They were irritated because Jesus had more important tasks to accomplish, more important sermons to preach. And so they attempted to push these parents away. However, Jesus, who is God, spoke to his disciples and said, "Let the little children come to me." He then laid his hands upon them and he blessed them. It is my assertion that the children who were brought to Jesus then were quite similar to the children of today. That the parents of that time experienced similar challenges like this we experience today. There were disobedient children. There were obedient children. There were hardworking children and there were some lazy ones. There were some who were temperamental and hot-tempered. Others were kind and humble. There were some noisy children and some who were very, very quiet. Other children were rebellious, while others were peaceful. Some children were even sick. Others were healthy. Some were sad or abused. Others were spoiled rotten, and others were disciplined. These children were as different then as they are today. And so, these parents needed to bring their children to Jesus for various reasons. Some parents needed to bring their children to Jesus for healing because they were sick. Others just needed to tell Jesus, "Thank you so much for wonderful children such as this." While others still literally needed Jesus to lay his hands on them to restore them in their day-to-day challenges. I can only imagine if I lived in those days of Judea, in the times of Jesus, when I was a little girl and I misbehaved, my mother would probably have told me, translated, "I will take you to Jesus to lay his hands on you so that you stop being naughty." And so Jesus is sending his disciples and telling them, "Let the little children come to me," because he knew every single reason and every need of every single child. He knew the importance of having these children brought to him. After all, he is God. He had watched over these same children since they had been formed in their mother's wombs. And so he stopped his sermon to focus on the children. What a wonderful Savior. In today's scenario, my brothers and sisters, some things have not changed, though others have drastically changed. I dare say that some of the challenges our grandparents faced while parenting our parents are somewhat different from the challenges our parents faced while parenting us. And they are also different from the challenges that we are now facing in parenting the millennial group today. Many parents and guardians have been blessed with children who excel in whatever they do. We have children who are brilliant academically. Children who glide through school easily with top marks. When our firstborn son was in class one, we were very excited. We keenly looked at his drawings when he came home in the evening and tried to teach him to color within the color, the lines of the drawings. However, one day when we went to school on Parents' Day, we saw a young man in his class. And when we were so proud that he had done such a good job of coloring, we saw a young boy in his class holding a well-known novel. The kind of novels we read only when we were in secondary school. I was astonished. Here we were thinking that our son was excelling in drawing, only to find another child that was on a completely different level. Some children are blessed academically. But let me add that our son also turned out well. Our children are musically talented. Some read music and play various instruments. We have heard of great music stars, and many grow to become exceptional artists, like the little girl who sang here earlier. A good example is a late Whitney Houston, who started singing at a very young age and grew to become a great singer. Many of our children play the guitar, others the violin, others drums, others the piano. Others are still very blessed in the arts. Others are good in photography, drama, sports such as football and athletics. Some are even great dancers and comedians. All these are God-given gifts that need to be encouraged and supported by our church and also at our homes. 2 months ago in November, the Women's Guild visited Tumaini Home for its annual Itaga. I was the one giving devotion, and so I started asking the children about their talents and how God had blessed them. And here are some of the gifts the children of Tumaini are blessed with. Kevin loves football and playing drums. Susan loves knitting. Joylin enjoys singing. Kinandri loves basketball and drawing. Steve loves football and dancing. Lucy is good at plaiting hair and football. Mary loves beauty and fashion. Naisinia is excellent in beadwork. Yakeo and Durango love drawing and coloring. Moshiri loves football. David Chubona, my Tumaini husband, because he's named after my husband, loves artwork. And then Karen and Anne are blessed with singing and cookery. These are some of the gifts that God has blessed our children with. Many of our children are also God-fearing and obedient to the word of God, and some are great orators and will become great preachers. Having said this, as a congregation that is well aware of the tactics of the evil one, we also know that as he roams the earth, Satan looks for those that he may devour. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, your adversary the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. So he's looking for these children that are doing well in order to destroy them. A friend of mine recently told me that in their home, their brightest sister, the one who is most brilliant and the hope of their family, is the one that has started taking illicit drugs. Satan is on the prowl even for those gifted ones. Let the children come to me. Having said that, this message would not be complete if we did not look at the challenges facing many of our children. Whilst their colleagues are doing well in the mentioned areas above, many are facing great difficulties. Some of these challenges include early marriages, teenage pregnancies, alcoholism, illicit drugs, rape and incest, depression, smoking, abortion, bullying, peer pressure, suicide, pornography, low self-esteem, loneliness, and many more. Challenges that were almost unheard of 30 or so years ago. Today, the mobile phone is the single most used device and a source of the good, the bad, and the ugly. It is great for technological advancement and a great innovation. For instance, we can now track the whereabouts of our children through various apps. You can also communicate with your child in case of danger. Just last Tuesday, during the terror attack at Dusit, and we want to remember those that have been victims and those that have lost their loved ones, many people are able to communicate with their loved ones by phone. This may have helped save lives and reduce anxiety. Police have also been able to track down those that were adversely involved in these acts of terror through tracking their mobile phone devices. So the phones are useful and necessary today. However, it is equally the single most destructive device that we have today, especially for children. It has prematurely opened up and censored information to our young children. Our children now know much more than they should. They have become more difficult to train or to mold. By the time parents or teachers are imparting information, the child has probably heard the twisted version. Satan has quickly taken advantage of this one device to destroy many young minds. Our older children are also facing a myriad of difficulties. The millennial group is grappling with lack of meaningful employment, endless search for spouses, marital problems, divorce, separation, unfaithfulness, the sponsored mentality, and too much clubbing. Yet our message is a message of hope, my brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ is knocking at your door and saying, "Let the children come to me. All is not lost." We serve a God who invites us to hide under his wing, where the devil can do us no harm. The words of Jesus are as meaningful today as they were in Judea. Our only place to hide our children and salvage them from the snares of the evil one are at the feet of Jesus. As parents and guardians, ours is to heed this call and bring these children to Christ. He is our only hope in this twisted, entangled world we are living in. Ours is to understand that these children do not belong to us. We are mere stewards of them. They have been given to us to bring joy, but also to prepare them for responsible adulthood by imparting values to them, and eventually for the kingdom of heaven. Do you know that you shall be asked what you did with the children that God gave you? You will be accountable. My heart was moved on Thursday morning when I read the day's portion of our daily bread. It speaks about a young man who suffered from severe low self-esteem. Let me share that passage with you. It says, "The words of Ravi's father cut deep. You're a complete failure. You're an embarrassment to his family. Compared to his talented siblings, Ravi was viewed as a disgrace. He tried excelling in sports, and he did, but he still felt like a loser. He wondered, what is going to become of me? Am I a complete failure? Can I get out of life somewhere? Aimlessly?" These thoughts haunted him. But he talked to no one. That simply wasn't done in his culture. He had been taught to keep your private heartache private. Keep your collapsing world propped up. So Ravi struggled alone. Then, while he was recovering in the hospital after a suicide attempt, a visitor brought him a Bible opened to John 14. His mother read these words of Jesus to Ravi, "Because I live, you will also live. This may be my only hope," he thought, "a new way of living, life as defined by the author of life." So he prayed, "Jesus, if you're the one who gives life as it is meant to be, I want it." This illustration points to a child who has gone through a terrible experience while growing up. He felt rejected, he felt set apart, he felt discriminated upon, and a disgrace to his family. Do any of our children sometimes feel neglected? Are they looking for us, parents, and cannot find us? Do we show favoritism and open disdain for the weaker children? Fathers, are we extra harsh to those children who seemingly embarrass our families? Mothers, are we guilty of breaking their little hearts? The Bible cautions us in Ephesians 6 verse 4 with the words, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Christ is telling us this morning, "Let the children come to me." So my brothers and sisters, do not stress. There is one who knows and understands your children far better than you do. There is one with all the answers. Bring back the children to him. Let us be like the parents of old who interrupted Jesus while he was preaching to present their children to him. As I conclude, I want to appeal to all of us to connect our children to Jesus, our nephews, our nieces, our grandchildren, to the saving power of Jesus Christ. And why should we do this? Because he will bless them. He will bring them long and happy lives. He will provide for them. He will grant them good health and a sound mind. He will give them wisdom and discernment. He will cover them with his redeeming blood. He will forgive their sins and heal their diseases. He will enable their futures. He will extend their borders and prosper them. He will protect them from the attacks of the evil one. He will train them in the way that he should go. He will anoint them for his service. Can you say amen? He will watch over them day by night. He will be their shade at their right hand. The sun will not harm them by day, nor the moon by night. They will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. He will keep them from all harm. He will prepare a table before them in the presence of their enemies. He will anoint their heads with oil. Even though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they shall fear no evil, for he shall be with them. His rod and his staff shall comfort them. He shall restore their souls, and they shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My prayer this morning is that we have weighed these options and see the critical benefits of heeding this call and committing these children and their families to the Lord. I pray that I have won you over. Let the children come to Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.